Thank you, Dr. Mosley, for the kind introduction. When he started naming the names of my children, I thought that he would stumble over them, but he remembered all three of them, and then I realized, yes, when you meet my children, you won't forget them. They are vivacious, all kinds of personality traits, and I thank God for giving them to us. Are you expecting Jesus to come back soon? Okay, I don't know whether all of you are with me. Are you expecting Jesus to come back soon?
Yes.
True. We had better be expecting Jesus to come because he said, I am coming soon. And the best response is what John said, Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Now, it's not enough just to say, yeah, I am expecting Jesus to come back soon. I believe that if we are honest about it, if we are sincere, that kind of expectation will revolutionize our lives. When I came to Southeastern, I had one problem. We had a house in Fort Worth, Texas that was not selling. And so, about 4 months later, I said to my wife, you had better go back there, make some improvements so that house would sell. So she got on the plane, and 1 week was passed, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and I was left here with three kids, 18, 15, and 12. Can you imagine? We visited all the fast food places in the area. I ate all the cold sandwiches I could ever eat. Yes, my teenage daughter tried to prepare a hot meal, which was macaroni cheese. And you know the hamburger stuff. Well, I was ready for my wife to get back. So I gave her a call, and finally she said, I did all I could do, we just have to leave it up to the Lord. I am flying back. She gave me the number of the flight, the time when she was arriving, and we had about 2 days to get ready. You should have seen us. We cleaned up the apartment. That was a seminary apartment. So we tried the very best. I put even a bouquet of flowers on the table so that she would feel welcome. We lived in an expectation. I wanted, again, some good cooking. And she can do it well. We waited for her, and the 2 days were experienced in a high expectation. We wanted her to come back. Do you expect Jesus in this way? Are you looking forward to seeing him back on this earth? Well, Jesus told us how we should be ready for his coming. And I'm going to read this passage in Luke 12, verses 35 through 48. I can see you brought your Bibles, so open them up in Luke 12, 35 through 48. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning, like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, Are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? The Lord answered, Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. I tell you the truth, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, My master is taking a long time in coming. And he then begins to beat the manservants and maidservants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him to a place with the unbelievers. That servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. There are certain things that the Lord Jesus will demand from us as we are expecting his second coming. The first one is, we must be ready. Three times in this short passage, we read that we must be ready. First, be dressed ready in verse 35. It means be presentable. Show even with your outward appearance that you are ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Jesus says, it will be good to be ready even at night. It means that even when you are falling asleep, you should have that thought on your mind that Jesus might come that very night. And thirdly, you also must be ready. It's not an option. It's not an option for us. We have to live in such a way that everything shows that we are ready for our Savior to come. But then in verse 37, we read something additional to that. We are to be watchful. Not just say, I'm ready, I look ready, but being watchful. That's the next step in being ready. Watching, longing, expecting Jesus to come. I would compare it to going to church. Some Christians stay up late on Saturday night, and on Sunday morning, they wake up, and they really cannot get out of the bed. So what do? They turn over and sleep through the service. They don't even get up. They did not make it to church to worship the Lord. Others will get up, but only because of the sense of responsibility. They are teaching a Sunday school. The pastor has to get up because he's expecting to preach the sermon, right? So he gets there because of the sense of responsibility. But others, they will get up joyfully because they do want to meet the Lord as the brothers and sisters in Christ worship him. They long for that. And that's how we should be watchful, longing, expecting Jesus to come. If you do that, look at the promise. Jesus will meet you and serve you. A very intimate fellowship with the Lord. You will not be surprised when he comes. You have expected him, and you will enjoy the most intimate fellowship with your Savior. But then the third thing, Jesus talks about the fact that we should be aware of judgment. Now, who likes to hear about judgment? I don't, but it's a fact. If you are faithful, you have nothing to fear. If you are expecting the Lord, you will enjoy him. But if you are unfaithful, listen to this. Those who are unfaithful, they will have to face at least three types of judgment. The first they will be cut to pieces and they will be assigned to a place with the unbelievers. The word here is apiston, and some translations say that they will be assigned a place with the unfaithful. Actually, I like the word with the unbelievers. It's much more forceful. Not that they would lose their salvation. Probably these unfaithful servants have never belonged to Christ. They pretend well. They call themselves the servants of the Lord, but they are not really living for Him. They just pretend. They will face the most severe judgment. Then those who know what to do, and let me tell you, because you came to chapel today, you will know. You know what Jesus expects you. You know that you should be ready. You know that you should be watchful. And if you do not get ready, you will be beaten with many blows. But then there is a third group of Christians who are ignorant, who do not study the Word of God, who really do not know how to live to be ready for the Lord to come, and they will not escape the judgment either. They will be beaten with few blows. I asked my class on Christian growth and discipleship to read the Bible in one semester. Some of them don't like me for that. But I don't care. They need to know the Word of God if they are in this kind of institution. They came here to study the Word of God, and listen, we need to know the Word of God. We say it's the inerrant Word of God, and it is, so we should know it. There is no room for ignorance in the life of a Christian. Well, the judgment. But God has a different plan for us. He really does not enjoy disciplining us, chastising us, judging us. Listen to what Jesus adds at the end of this passage. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. Listen, you belong to a privileged group of Christians. Are you grateful? You are to be grateful, and I'm going to try to convince you how much the Lord has given to you. We are free people in this country, aren't we? It seems that freedom is starting to be curbed a little bit, but we are free to do whatever we want for the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you just applied to come to this school and you were accepted, and here you are. I applied to 5 universities. First 2 times I applied to be accepted in the University of Prague to become a teacher. And they asked me whether I believed in God. When I said I believed in God, they said, Mr. Schultz, we don't need you here. We don't want anybody to tell our young people about faith in God. They did not accept me. One of the professors was my ice hockey coach. He liked me. So he called me into his office. He was a medical doctor. He had the human skull. He opened it up and showed me the brain. And he said, Joseph, that's all that's to us. There is no God. He tried to convince me of that for an hour, then he gave up. But he said this, Joseph, you can apply, and if you say just a small lie in front of those professors that you don't believe in God, we will accept you. Well, I applied, I met the same group of professors, and sure enough, they said, Mr. Schultz, have you changed your mind about believing in God? For a split second, I was thinking about that small lie. But then, the Holy Spirit reminded me of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are ashamed of Him in front of people, He will be ashamed of us. He will deny us. And then I said, no, I believe in God. And they rejected my application. Then I asked 3 times to be accepted in a seminary, evangelical seminary in Prague. And 3 times my application was denied. The government said that I was much more beneficial to the society playing ice hockey than to become a Baptist pastor. And that was it. Well, are you grateful that you could get here and study God's word and get ready for ministry? You should be. Or we go with doulos. We witness. I take my classes to witness about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I lived home, it was against the law. One pastor witnessed, people got saved, and you know, new Christians cannot keep the good news to themselves. So they told. That pastor ended up in prison for 3 months just for witnessing about the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he would not quit witnessing even in prison. He kept on witnessing there, and about 30 prisoners were kneeling down with him, worshiping the Lord. The director of the prison said, "You are more dangerous here than outside. I will let you go because of good behavior." Listen to this. That pastor said, "I was sentenced to 3 months, and I will stay 3 months." There were others who needed to hear the good news there. Are you grateful that you can witness in this country? You should be. Because the Lord asked us to do that. Or some of you are pastors. You enjoy preaching, pastoring, ministering to the people. My father was the pastor of the First Baptist Church in Prague. 6 years later, after quite a few young people accepted the Lord in his church, the government took from him the license to preach. It was not the deacons who took him out of that position. It was the government. And he had to leave. For 6 months, they would not allow him to preach anywhere. And then they moved him into a small church in the countryside. It seems that they could take him only for 6 years, because in that location, they also forced him out after 6 years. Are you glad that you can freely serve the Lord and minister within your churches? You should be. And then, many of you, I believe, are getting the very best theological education that you can find in this country. You have been accepted, and you should be grateful that you are here. I know that for some of you, it's very difficult. Isn't it? It is. God did not promise that he would make our lives comfortable, did he? And you had better learn certain lessons as you struggle. But let me tell you this. When I left my home country because I could not study for the ministry there, I was accepted in a Baptist seminary in Richlikon, Switzerland. I thought, "Lord, this is wonderful. I like Switzerland. I like those wonderful Alps. I will enjoy studying theology there." But this is what happened. I did not know much English. Everything was taught in English, and I had to study Latin, Greek, and Hebrew at the same time. If you think you have it difficult, watch out. It can get worse. I got fed. I played no hockey. And my commitment was to study for ministry. I had no money. I had a scholarship, but I could not even buy a post stamp to send a letter to my parents. And I was used to a lot of money. I belonged to the group of the best paid people in the Czech Republic. And after obeying the call, I became nobody. It was God's plan, but it was tough. If you think that you have it tough, it can get worse. You had better be grateful for being able to study in this institution and get ready for ministry. Also, we have wonderful resources. When I think about over 2,000 students who are getting ready to serve the Lord, I immediately think about the potential. God can do great things through you. But you must not be bitter. You must be grateful for all the blessings that God has given you. And if you are grateful, you will do everything possible for God. I teach missions and evangelism. And I think that I'll be very generous when I say that about 15 to 20% of the student body and of all the people associated with this school are involved in foreign missions. Listen, if you are grateful that God saved you, if you are grateful that God brought you into this place, you will carry the message of the good news to the uttermost parts of this world. It's a mandate of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another, we have no option. You should listen more to God. Allow Him to convince you that you are needed in some other parts of our world. Are you grateful? Are you really grateful for all the blessings that God has showered upon you? Please, I plead with you, don't be ever bitter. Be grateful, because God has given you much. But then there is a final item that I would like to talk about. It's not enough just to be grateful. You need to be wise. If you are wise, you will give much to God for giving much to you. If you are foolish and unfaithful, you will give little for much. And I hope that I have already convinced you that you have been given much. Some of you think that it's all right to give just the bare minimum and get out of this school. Not so. Jesus told us that He will be demanding much from us. So the only wise thing is to try your very best to give much back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you think that, well, I just need to graduate. And after I graduate, I will really serve the Lord. Not so. You have to serve the Lord while you are here. I preached in chapel at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. After that, I had a time of fellowship with Dr. Dilday, who was the president of the seminary at that time, and I asked him, do you know how many of our graduates from this school actually end up in ministry? He said, 50%. And those were students who claimed that God called them. That's foolish. We are to be wise and give much back to God. But I know that it's a possibility to just be satisfied with giving little. I accepted the Lord when I was 14. At 17, I felt the Lord calling me into ministry. And do you know what I told Him? Lord, I'm too young. I'm enjoying ice hockey, I'm enjoying tennis, and can't you use my witness as a professional athlete? Why should I go into ministry? For 7 long years, I was giving the bare minimum. I was going to church, I read the Bible, but then I tried to satisfy myself. Please don't do that. It's foolish. During those times, I really did not enjoy my relationship with the Lord as much as I could have. Why? Because of being unfaithful. Be wise. God will demand much from you. He has entrusted you with much, and He has the right to demand much back. In 1970, I was flying to America because I received a full scholarship for playing tennis for Oral Roberts University. I could have dreamed about making it in the professional arena, playing tennis or playing ice hockey. But as I was sitting on that airplane, I prayed. And I wrote two sentences on my air ticket. That ticket is in a safe box in the bank because I don't ever want to forget what God asked me to write there. I wrote, I have come here to serve the Lord. And secondly, don't lose any opportunity to win someone for Christ. I cannot tell you that I have lived by these two things faithfully all the time, but I do want to. I want to be wise for the Lord, giving much to Him. Please, don't lose any opportunity to serve the Lord and to make Him known. Now, how can you do that? I believe that rather than giving you all kinds of instructions, I'll leave this thought with you. You need to be more like Jesus. When you see Him hanging on the cross for you, knowing about the tremendous love that He has for you, I believe that you will give much for much. Many years ago, I met a pastor who spent 5 years in prison. He and many other Baptist preachers were accused of being spies of the United States of America. It was a lie. But the government had a plan that they would destroy all churches. And so the first step was to destroy the pastors. They put them into prison. When this pastor came back, he became a member of my father's church. And I thought that I would meet a bitter, broken man who would remember those awful years in that prison cell. He was not allowed to preach. He was not allowed even to give a testimony. But my father wanted this pastor to feel part of the worship, and so he asked him to sing a song. I looked at his face. It was radiant. The smile was all over the face. I saw a radiant Christian who was not deterred by the persecution. He chose this song, and you know it, "More Like the Master I Would Ever Be." I will never forget hearing him and watching him sing that song. It is a matter of your decision. Do you want to be wise? Do you really want to do your very best for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has loved you so much? I would like to give you an opportunity to make a decision. I would like for you to decide right now, here, that this semester and on, you will live a committed life to Christ. If there is anything that's in your way, any obstacle, any sin, come forward, kneel down, pray, confess. You will be forgiven. God will give you a brand new beginning and the potential that is in this place because you are following Christ will be realized. We will not spend much time, but if God puts this on your heart, come forward, pray, and God will start mighty things in your life. Let us stand as you respond to the word of God.
Hymn number 285, "Wherever He Leads, I'll Go."
Take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I care wherever he leads, I'll go. He drew me closer to his side. I sought his will to know.
Pastor in O'Fallon, Illinois, growing I suppose one of the fastest growing churches in the country today, will be here among us tomorrow. And Thursday, Jeff Noblet was to be here, but he has canceled on us, and we have Dr. Michael Clower, who will be here preaching. He is pastor of one of the greatest churches in Eastern North Carolina, Inglewood Baptist over in Rocky Mount. And so I hope you won't miss Wednesday or Thursday in chapel. Let's pray together. Lord, it's my prayer as we close that everybody in this building this morning might have just given a true testimony that wherever you lead, it truly will go. And I pray, Lord, if it's not true in their heart of hearts, that they might make it so by the power of your Spirit. And Lord, we pray that we would live just this day as if you were coming back any moment. We do pray in Jesus' name.